Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good
to see you all, and I trust the Lord will meet with us as we gather around His Word. Jonah chapter 1, and we'll progress a little today, I hope, by reading another verse, because the drama unfolds and the story advances. Well, let's just cover from the verse 4 again. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind. That little word, but, usually introduces something that runs contrary to what was happening before. We might say of the weather, the sun is shining, but there's a cold wind, and the cold wind sort of contradicts the warm sunshine, cancels it out. Well, here, this but brings in a contrast between what had been happening, Jonah running away and apparently succeeding in getting away. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay down and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster, the captain we'll call him, came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. So we'll be thinking of what it is the captain says to Jonah here in this verse 6. Let me just remind you. Jonah has been the subject of God's intervention following his disobedience and his running away. God intervened in Jonah's life and upset Jonah's sinful plans. First of all, the Lord sent the wind after him. And the wind, as it were, called the sea to help it. And it stirred up the whole sea. And the little ship was being tossed about so violently, it was in danger of just breaking up and sinking. But the Lord wasn't finished. Now, the Lord sends not just the wind, not just the stormy sea, but now the Lord sends the captain down into the sides of the ship, the bottom of the ship, where Jonah is fast asleep, and the captain wakens him up and says to him, according to verse 6, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So here is another element in God's plan to reach this running away backslider and get him back to the paths of obedience. In this verse, this captain, who's a heathen, remember, that's important, don't ever forget that, he wasn't a believer, that is, he wasn't converted, he didn't know the Lord, but nevertheless, God uses him to awaken Jonah and to, first of all, rebuke him. Awake thou that sleepest! What are you doing? What meanest thou? He rebukes Jonah. And then he commands Jonah to pray. Get up and pray, he says, that God might think upon us. So that's what we're going to think about. First and foremost, we're going to think about the prophet being censored or rebuked for sleeping. That tells us a lot about old Jonah, you know. Tells us a lot about him. Backsliding makes the sinner who's converted but has backslidden less wise than the heathen. All the other sailors were doing what they could to save the ship, and as well as that, they were praying. Now, their prayers didn't amount to much, for they were just calling on their old gods, and their old gods didn't exist. But they were praying. They were conscious of the fact they needed divine help. But Jonah, he was asleep. That's what backsliding does. It takes the Christian from the height of fellowship with God and obedience to God and sinks the Christian down into carelessness and indifference and sleeping and not praying when he ought to. That's what backsliding does. The first place you notice that a person is backsliding is the empty seat that they usually fill in the prayer meeting. They stop coming to the prayer meeting. That's a bad sign. They have left off praying. And that's what it was with old Jonah. And he's rebuked by a heathen man. Now here was Jonah, the prophet that God was going to send to Nineveh to speak to all the heathen people there and direct them in the paths of righteousness. And here he is, backslidden, in disobedience to God, and a heathen man is speaking to him and rebuking him. What a reversal. What an about turn there is here, all because of backsliding. Then again, backsliding will cause a Christian, a believer, to act in a most unnatural way. They will do things that are unnatural. You see, what was more natural on a ship that was in danger of sinking than everybody on it doing what they could to keep it afloat? That was the natural thing. The unnatural thing was to be asleep. That's why when the captain came down to him, the first words he says, look at verse 6, what meanest thou? What are you doing? This is not natural. What you're doing is contrary to common sense. Why are you sleeping? And I tell you, boys and girls, sin will make the Christian act unnaturally. Do that which is contrary to common sense and to wisdom. Then, something else. Backsliding will blind the mind of the backslider of their need of God's help. All those sailors who were heathens, they were all crying. They knew, we need God's help. We need God to do something for us or we'll drown. But that wasn't in the mind of Jonah. He was sleeping. That's why the captain is so amazed that he's not praying, that he's sleeping, that he's not thinking of his need of God's intervention. He's sleeping. But then that's what backsliding does. It dulls the mind. And thoughts of God just go away. And we find the backslider living from day to day as if there was no God. As if there was no God. God and prayer just slip out of the mind of the backslider. And that's the state poor old Jonah was in. What meanest thou? The captain was amazed at the behaviour of Jonah. Isn't it an awful thing when the worldly man is amazed at the way a Christian is living? That's what backsliding will do. That's what backsliding will do. So, Jonah is here rebuked by the captain, but he's also instructed and commanded to pray. Look at what it says. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise! Get up! Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. There's a whole lot in that little statement. Let's learn this, boys and girls. Let's look at what this unconverted heathen man here says. First and foremost, I want you to notice that you don't have to be a Christian to have religious thoughts. This man has religious thoughts. Start praying, he says. He thought it very proper that they pray in the circumstances in which they found themselves. But he was a heathen man. He didn't know the Lord. But there are millions and millions and millions in this world who don't know the Lord and yet they have thoughts about praying. Indeed, they pray. Their prayers are not heard because they're not correct. Their prayers don't go anywhere, but they know that they should be praying. They know they should be praying. This man knew, first of all, that there was a God. He knew there was a God. He says, awake and start praying and call upon thy God, if so be that God... But he knew there was a God. He knew there was a God. And he knew that God could hear prayer. It's another thing he knew. This heathen man. He knew too that he could perish. See what it says? Call upon God, if so be God will think upon us that we perish not. that we don't die. He knew about death. He knew that he could be lost. These thoughts were in his head. And yet he was a heathen. He didn't know anything about the Lord. Didn't know anything about this book or any part of it. He also knew that mercy could be obtained from God. He says, pray that God might think on us, that we perish not. That's a mercy that we should be seeking. He says, get up and pray. And this was a heathen man, boys and girls. I want you to understand that. It's important for you to recognize this, that you can have all sorts of religious thoughts and not know God. Just like this man. Then quickly, even though he had these instincts, he knew there was a God, he knew he could be reached by prayer, etc., etc. Even though he knew these things, he needed guidance and enlightenment. He needed instruction about God before he could have a proper understanding of God. The first day you came to school, you knew there was such a thing as reading books. You'd seen other people reading books. You'd seen mommy reading books. You'd seen daddy reading the newspaper. You knew that there was such a thing as being able to read the print on a page. But you didn't know how to read. You needed instruction. You needed to be taught. And you're being taught. And I'm sure you can read now. You were reading your hymn book and doing very well and singing. Well, this man, oh, he knew there was a God. He didn't know much about him. Didn't know much about him. Because he needed instruction. And so, that's how it is with us all, boys and girls. We may know that there is a God. That's, I believe, an instinct with which all are born. I believe, though men say there is no God, they know there is a God. Just don't know much about him. They need instruction. Remember the man, we call him the Ethiopian eunuch, driving along in his chariot, returning from Jerusalem, where he had been up to worship, and he's reading the book of Isaiah, and God told Philip the evangelist, go up and join him, speak to him. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, except some man help me, instruct me, teach me? See, boys and girls, we need help. If we're to know about God, we need instruction. And the instruction that we find concerning God is in the Bible. And God has ordained that by the preaching of the Bible, we learn about God. We learn about God. You look at this building here. Look at it. And you know somebody built it. The chances are not one of you know who did do the building. Because you could look all day at the building and not know who built it. Until you're taught, until you're told who the builder was. Well, you can look out on the world and you can say somebody made this. Somebody created this world. But it's only when you turn to the Bible that you discover who the creator is. And this poor heathen man, he's showing more sense than Jonah at this moment. But he's very limited in the knowledge that he has. It's only by the Bible that we can learn about God. It's only by the Bible that we learn how to approach God. You see, the Bible tells us about our sin. It tells us that we need forgiveness of sin. It tells us that we need to understand that one came from heaven, even the Lord Jesus, and became a sacrifice for sin in order to put away our sins and enable us to come and approach unto God and stand before Him in prayer. Oh, it's not enough to know we need to pray. It's not enough to know I need to obtain from God answers to prayer. We need to be told how it is we may obtain answers to prayer. We're sinners, unworthy of anything from God. But when we come in the way God has appointed, through the Lord Jesus Christ, then God hears us when we plead the name of the Lord Jesus. For this poor heathen man, prayer was a sort of a hit and miss thing. He had no assurance whatsoever that God would hear their prayer. Look at what it says. Every word is important. Look at what it says. in the verse 6, Jonah chapter 1.
So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us. You know that big word,
if.
If. He's saying here, if we pray, maybe,
there'll be an answer from God.
See, for the heathen, it's hit and miss. And for the vast majority of people who call themselves Christians, who call themselves Protestants, that's the way they pray. Oh, they pray, but they go away saying, oh, I might get an answer and I might not.
But that's not how the Christian, the true Christian, approaches the matter of prayer. Here's what Paul said, and we're reading from Hebrews chapter 10, the verses 19 and 20. You old one, look it up and learn it, and look at it and read it and study it and let it be written on your heart. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus by a new and living way. He's saying, we can come boldly. We can come with certainty. We can come with assurance that we will be welcomed, that what we are praying for will be heard, and furthermore will be answered. That's how the Christian looks on prayer. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. There's been a way opened by the death of Christ, by the shedding of his blood, whereby we may ask in his name and ask with boldness. Ask with boldness, knowing we're going to get an answer, because answers to prayer has been purchased by the blood of Christ.
The poor old heathen, get up and pray, perhaps, maybe, if.
But that's not how the Christian prays.
Not only do we need to read the Bible to find out who God is, but we need to read the Bible and study in order to obtain knowledge and understanding as to how we can come to God in faith and obtain from him the blessing.
The Bible takes the if out of praying.
There's no maybes. Maybe God will hear me. No. The Lord Jesus said, Whatsoever you ask in my name, I give it to you. If you ask in his name, for his honor, for his glory, you'll get an answer. Sometimes we ask out of greed. Sometimes we ask out of selfishness. Well, we're not going to get an answer to that. But if we ask in Jesus' name, for his honor and glory, for the advancing of his cause, we'll get an answer. We'll get an answer. I want you to notice something else, and here we close. Those who come to God in the name of the Lord Jesus, those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, God thinks about them. Now notice the words of this heathen man. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us. That's what he wanted. He wanted himself and his shipmates to come into the thoughts of God, that God might look on them and think about them. That's what he wanted. Well, you know something? Every Christian is always in the thoughts of God. Just you think of this. There are times you forget about God. I don't care who you are. There are times you forget about God, forget about the Lord. But do you know something? The Lord never, he never forgets about you. He never forgets about you. In the Old Testament, the high priest who pictures for us the Lord Jesus, for he is our great high priest, who even now is standing before the Father and he's praying for us. Well, in the Old Testament, the high priest had special garments that he wore when he was carrying out his duties as a high priest. And among the things that he wore was a lovely golden breastplate, right there over his heart. And on that breastplate there were 12 stones, precious stones, jewels. And upon each stone there was written in Hebrew the name of one of the tribes of Israel. So that on the 12 stones you had the 12
names of the tribes of Israel. And when he was in doing his wonderful duties before God, there were the name of all the children of Israel presented unto God. And that serves to instruct us, you see, that the Lord Jesus is ever bringing your name before the Father. That's why God always thinks about us, because he's ever being reminded, if not that he needs reminded, but we use these terms to explain the things. He's ever being reminded of your name. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, the Lord Jesus is bringing your name before the Father all the time. He's always thinking about you. Isn't that marvellous? At this very moment, if you're saved, God's thinking about you. And his thoughts about you are the most tender, the most loving, the most merciful. This old sea captain, he wanted God to think about him kindly. He really didn't know how that could be accomplished, but that's what he wanted. But we know how we can obtain favour from the Lord through prayer, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said this, Psalm 106 and the verse 4, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation." Remember me. The thief on the cross, when he looked over at the Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed. And do you remember what it was that he prayed? He said, "Remember me. Remember me. Let my name be always in your mind, Lord. Let me be numbered amongst those that you're always thinking about." In other words, he was saying, "Lord, save me. Make me one of yours." Boys and girls, it's a precious thing to be saved. And that statement is so weak. It's the most glorious, indescribable thing to be saved. And have God ever think about you. Throughout this day, may it come into your mind, God's thinking about me now. God's thinking about me now. Now you could only say that if you're saved, if you have come to Christ and received him as your Savior. May the Lord bless his word to your heart. Let's pray one another. We do ask the Lord to bless your word to the boys and girls. Bring it home to them. Write it upon their heart. Bless the school today and all the concerns. Remember over in Clogher Valley as well, and the principal, she goes over there to help out. Be with her and all the staff and children there. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.